Let's continue reading. Now, I did have a film that I was going to show tonight, but I might not because we're running out of time. And I remember when I showed it about 5 or 6 years ago. It was actually a pretty good documentary done by the History Channel. But the, you know, with the History Channel, anytime you have a network or a cable, whatever documentary, you got to be careful because it depends on who, what experts. Because you can get experts in any field to say whatever you want them to say. You need to remember that. So this one though was pretty good. They had a lot of the folks that we'd be kind of familiar with from conservative circles, Christian circles, and it just highlighted how everything in terms of the planet, in terms of nature, all of that sets us up for the various judgments in Revelation. And I was going to only show about 30 minutes of it, but I probably won't. But I do know that when I showed, I don't know how much I showed about 5 or 6 years ago. Do you guys remember that? Some of you were here, watched that? Who remembers that? Watching about 5 years ago. It was a documentary, and it showed the various things that would happen to Earth during the time of Revelation. Who remembers that? Raise your hand. One, two, three. You were here for that one too? 5 years ago? Well, God bless you. Well then, and probably a lot of you did see it, but you forgot. The thing about it is, I'll never forget one of our members who they're not here tonight because they had another obligation, but I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, "Father Ward, I couldn't sleep at all the entire night after that, watching that." It really disturbed her. It must not have disturbed any of you. You don't even remember it. I bet she does. Anyhow, we probably don't have to see it, but I think we'll get the gist. Okay, let's keep reading chapter 8 here. Chapter 8, okay. And so we've got verse 6. "And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up." This parallels a little bit the fourth plague on Egypt with the great hail. But it goes farther than that. And again, the third, is it a third of the planet? Is it a third of a region? We do not know, but it creates significant damage. What would be the source of this? Is the hail just, represent some disruptions politically or what have you? No. I believe these are superstorms that will be created by possible volcanic eruptions that will affect the climate. And that will be the first trumpet, and it will burn the grass, it will affect the vegetation in the area in which you have this blast or blasts. Some would say that this could refer to a nuclear exchange. Nuclear weapons. Very possible. We don't know. Let's continue. "The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood." Now, what would that be? Notice it isn't literally a great mountain, but it's like a great mountain. Most likely that is a meteor. A large mass of rock that will look to be on fire as it hits our atmosphere. And then it will hit the water. And it will create a mega tsunami, a super tidal wave that would destroy not only the shipping, but many of those who are on the shore. And we know that our planet has taken meteor hits before. "And the sea became blood." What's that reference to? That's a red tide in the documentary, which I don't think we will have time to show it unless you... Hey, well, you know what, Deacon? You're such a good servant. Can you make us some popcorn? Let's just, we'll have part two, you know, we'll get the popcorn out and we'll have a nice movie, a good time of encouragement together. And Yeah, that's right. Terrell Owens, get your popcorn. Okay. Anyhow. What's it? Are you going to play some music too? Oh, that's true. Yeah, no, we don't want the mess. That's true. Good. Thank you, Terry. Party pooper. No. Okay. So we got the sea. That's a red tide. That's when water is deprived of its oxygen, it turns red, and everything in it dies because there's not the oxygen. And then a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then verse 10, the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Now, what is this? Now, it's interesting. Now, some may think that, well, is this maybe another meteor? But how would it contaminate all the fresh water supply? Wormwood is a name for an extremely bitter herb, and it was used as a reminder of bitterness. And bitterness is a really bad feeling, right? Bad, bad, bad. What's fascinating is that Chernobyl, remember the nuclear disaster in Chernobyl in the 1980s? That was in Ukraine, and Chernobyl is the Ukrainian word for wormwood. Now this star, wormwood, could either be a object or an angel, because remember stars are used as a term for angel. The same way we do in the English language, we'll say star, that means a star in the heaven, and if you're an athlete, a great athlete or an entertainer, we'll use star. In Hebrew, a star was used for that which was in the heavens as well as for angels. And this star has a name. So that's why some interpret, even futurists and those who tend to be more literal, interpret it as an angel coming down to the earth to poison the waters. But what I find interesting is, could not this be, it's a nuclear missile that John sees that hits an area, central water area of rivers or whatever, a major tributary that affects the waters, and you got the fallout of radiation? Or if you have radiation that gets into the atmosphere, what happens? The cloud comes back down because of the rain. And therefore, how are we poisoned? Through radiation sickness. It's just a thought. It's a possibility. Yeah.
The Science Channel had something similar to what you saw. And they repeat the show all the time.
Okay.
It's a Science Channel. So they go all the different natural disasters tied into
Revelation. Oh, Revelation. So what we're saying is the Science Channel had something similar. They probably copied the History Channel and say, hey, look at this. 136. Well, if you get the name of the, if you can find out the name of the show, I know you gave me the channel, but I'm sure there's the diet, it's called something.
Yeah. They always have different
scientific. So, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that you have a meteor coming down, you have a volcanic eruption, you have a meteor, and you have a nuclear missile. And just those three enough are going to cause enough havoc. Now, here's my theory. You notice how it's always a third? A third is affected? Well, I really believe that that's tied into Revelation 12. I want you to look over quick to Revelation 12. This is a perfect example where the Bible uses symbolism, but it doesn't leave us alone trying to guess what it means. It actually explains the symbolism. Chapter 12, verse 3. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, and so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. So right now we know the stars that were swept away are angels with the dragon. And the great dragon, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon, verse 9, was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So you see how the great dragon is identified. Oh, look at this. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Deacon. I'll tell you what, this guy's amazing, isn't it? Isn't he? I ask for something, he just gives it. And you know what? And something else, if I wanted Pepsi, I know he has a complete supply in his refrigerator of Diet Pepsi. Wow. Wow. Are you tempting me to play that movie? I mean, at least I got some popcorn. And I'll be real careful, Terry. I won't get any crumbs on the floor. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. And so it continues. But the point is that notice that it was a third of the angels, verse 4, a third of the stars of heaven that threw them to the earth. So I think the symbolism is significant. Remember, God's judgment is upon the earth that has rebelled against him and has persecuted the saints. And a third of the earth keeps getting affected. And I believe this corresponds with the fact that Satan rebelled with a third, and Satan at this point is the god of this world. And I have not come across that interpretation anywhere, not that it isn't out there. This is just something I just kind of deduced from, because I, you know, what's the significance? A third of the angels? Notice it's a third, a third, a third. Right, a third of the angels rebelled with Satan, right. So when we talk about demons, what demons are, demonic spirits are fallen angels. All right, now let's finish up 8, verse 12, back on page 1231, verse 12 of chapter 8. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck. There's your third again. So that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. So now, the planetary bodies, the atmosphere is affected. Now think about it for a moment. If you have volcanic ash, if you have a nuclear winter, that type of thing, all of those issues will put a dim on the sun. It's going to reduce, and whether it's meaning reducing the output of the energy of the sun and the moon, or whether it means that the day is going to be actually shortened and there's just going to be longer periods of dark, or that, you know, during a course of a month, a third of the month is, we don't know, but it stands to reason that such cataclysmic events, if they're natural and man-made, would affect the atmosphere itself. And what's also interesting is that Jesus said that there would be signs in the heavens, and the moon would be darkened, the sun would be darkened. He already said all this stuff would happen, and we have it also alluded to in the Old Testament. I give you those passages. Yes?
Just thinking back to Mount St. Helens when it interrupted.
Right.
The impact it had, that was just one.
Oh, it's, and again, if we had watched the film, it's brutal. Because what we were going to also see is earthquakes. See, this is something to think about. Because remember when we were talking about the seals, one of the seals was a great earthquake. And you have all these major cities that are on fault lines. Tokyo, Shanghai, San Francisco, Los Angeles. You know, and then you have all these volcanoes. You know, the most serious volcano underground is Yellowstone National Park. I spent 2 summers there. It's beautiful. But there's a reason why they have all those hot springs and water. You don't want to fall in. In fact, one young college student fell in just last year. It's unbelievable. He and his sister were out there hiking, and they were looking for one to kind of There's only certain ones you can actually go in that are warm enough, that are comfortable, but there are others that are boiling water. Can you believe this kid, 23 years, he slipped and fell in. She went to get help. When they got there, there was storm, so they thunder, so they really couldn't. And then when they got there again, the body had pretty much dissolved because of the salts and the minerals and stuff. So talk about having a bad day. I mean, gosh. But listen, I spent two summers in Yellowstone, and we would always call the tourists Tourons. Tourons. All right, Tourons, yes. Because people would be doing really moronic things, like trying to pet a buffalo, like trying to put your child on a moose, you know, stuff like that. You don't do that type of thing, all right? You know, it's really stupid. So anyhow, underneath is a huge, if that thing goes, it will totally affect the United States, our country, in a really bad, bad way. And again, they're saying, well, it could be, you know, tens of thousands of years. It could be, we don't know when. But here's the thing I think we all need to think about. Why has God designed the earth in such a manner that we can have major earthquakes all happen at one time? Why is there volcanoes? Why are there meteors? There's a purpose to everything God does. And wouldn't it stand to reason that because God is in control of time and space, that what we would call coincidences, we would know as Christians it would be God's timing and perfect timing, and that boom, 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 everything goes off at the same time, all to convey a message, not just to earth, but also to the spiritual realm. And so that brings us to our last verse, very fascinating here, the last verse of chapter 8. Then I looked and I heard an eagle flying in mid heaven, saying with a loud voice. Now, of course, eagles normally don't talk. But this eagle certainly could. Think of the donkey in the Old Testament, right? But it's why some people believe the eagle is actually an angel, because remember, one of the four living creatures in Revelation 4 had an eagle's face. Doesn't matter what the eagle was. What matters is, what is the eagle conveying? Listen to what the eagle says. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wow, three woes. To those who dwell on the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. You think it's bad now, the eagle's saying it's going to get worse. But why an eagle? Because, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the first four trumpets deal with the earth, deal with the four aspects of nature that man places his trust in. Look at it again. The first trumpet is directed against the earth itself. The land. We trust in land, right? Terra firma. It's nice to be on dry, firm land, isn't it? But we also trust in the sea. That is a reference to the salt water, the oceans. And the oceans are what give us a lot. But we also need fresh water, the rivers. We trust in our fresh water. And finally, we trust in the air we breathe, in the atmosphere. We trust in the sun and the moon and the planets, the universe, everything that we see. Think of it, natural man. We need all four, don't we? And we trust in all four if we're going to live. And all four are under judgment. But now it's an eagle flying. Why? Because it's no longer natural world stuff. The next trumpets are concerning the spirit realm. And they're going to be spiritual judgments that do affect the planet, but in a way that actually where people die. A third of the planet will lose its life, or a third of the area that is affected. Again, is it a third of the Roman Empire? We don't know. We'll talk about that next week, and maybe I'll even show the movie next week. I don't know if I'll have time. It's making me hungry. The spiritual judgments, because the next trumpet we'll see, it's demonic. They're locusts, but they're really, I believe, demonic spirits. And they affect the spirit of man and the body of man. And so it really highlights the fact that God's judgment is complete. It's the earth, but it's also the individuals themselves. So, any questions or comments? Yeah.
C.S. Lewis makes a big deal out of Wormwood. The
Screwtape Letters, yes. C.S. Lewis's classic
on
Wormwood, yes. That's right. Yes. Was this the one in Haiti, or? Oh yeah. That's right. The volcano. There was a volcano that went off in the 1830s in the Indonesia region that actually affected the climate of the northern hemisphere in Europe and stuff, made things a lot cooler because of the ash that was in the sky. Yeah. That's right.
Here's one of them. When it gets, it's going to be a lot worse then.
Exactly.
Kind of like a little warning to us that I really mean what I'm saying.
Exactly. I think that's a good thing, too. The earthquakes that happen now are warning signs. There's no doubt about it. The tsunami that happened in 2004, that's a warning sign. The earthquake in Haiti. The hurricane in New Orleans. Think about these natural disasters. They're warning signs. And this, I hate to say it, but the earth is set to blow. One of these days, yes.
Well, it just also says in Romans, I was thinking of this, is it says the earth groans, the creation groans to be.
That's right, that's part of the fall. As the in Paul says, that the whole creation even groans for the longing of the revelation of the sons of God, that, hey, when is this going to be over? There'll be a crescendo, and the crescendo is leading to the coming of Christ. But before Christ comes, Jesus said it so. He said there are going to be signs in the heavens, there's going to be great earthquakes, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be plagues, there's going to be all that kind of stuff.
Don't you know that they're sitting underneath the greatest fall in the world?
I've heard that. Now, I don't know if that's true, though, is it?
That's true. Right from here, right to Montreal. We're underneath it.
But I heard that it's a dormant fault. Is that right? Because I talked to my insurance. Because I talked to my insurance agent. Because I did. All right, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why I talked to my insurance agent. Because I had heard that some years ago, that we have a major fall through here. And so...
You can get the earthquake insurance.
No, but what I said to him, because earthquake insurance is so cheap here. Yeah, well, yeah, I think so. Yes, you were in a shame. But the one said that they don't even offer it. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I talked about it with you too. What did you tell me, MJ? This was years ago. But did you hear what she said, though? Is that true, though? The engineers said that if there was an earthquake, the water will absorb everything.
Yeah, well, I got this for you.
So it was you. You told me not to get it. No, I'm just kidding. I hope your house is earthquake-proof so I can come over.
Yeah.
What, you think Washington is going to bail us out?
We talked back there. That fall going through Niagara Falls and also all that water has no place to go.
Oh, really?
Father, you have never seen an earthquake. An earthquake, I worked on the earthquake down in Northridge in 94. You see steel, big beams of steel twisted like a spaghetti. You never think that a machine can do that. Nothing. And it only takes about 15 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't take forever.
That's true.
You see half of the road being demolished and the other half is straight.
And didn't you say, too, that there was a pool where all the water was completely gone out of it?
Yeah, the first time I went in there, all the back of one house was all full of water. And there was no pipes broken or anything. And I said to the guy, I said, what's going on with all this water in the back? He says, it's the pool. Well, you've got an in-ground pool made out of concrete. What do you mean? He says, well, the thing, the water, it throws it. I said, you you've been drinking too much. And it was true. It was true.
Wow.
You see glass when the earthquake happens. You see store glasses wave, not break. They wave. Oh, it was unbelievable, the thing. And my boss, he was laying down watching a ball game. And next thing you knew, he was thrown against the wall, right against the door. He believed everything after that.
Oh, I bet. Wow. Wow.
Oh,
well,
crazy.
Unbelievable. Well, and so, yeah, this world that we walk on isn't as firm as we think it is. And it's a reminder not to trust merely in the things of nature. Yes. Oh, in the 70s, there was a pretty good-sized tremor. Oh, is that right? Really? And you guys actually shook, huh? Wow, man, if that was maybe just 15 years ago, I would have gotten that insurance. But anyhow, okay, well, yes, one last one. Bob?
Yeah, there's going to be a sign in the heavens depicting Atheist Day tomorrow.
I'm sorry? Oh, April Fool's Day. That's right. Atheist Day is April Fool's Day. There's going to be a comet for them. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, let's pray. The Lord be with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can laugh, that we can have a good time, but at the same time, we know that these are some serious matters, and we thank you that we have been saved by grace. Help us to remember that our bodies are the temple of your Holy Spirit. May you keep us holy and pure as we seek Jesus, knowing that it is only by seeking and following him that we indeed are pure. We pray for our brothers and sisters who weren't able to come tonight. Pray for the services this weekend and all the churches represented, that you would be lifted up and magnified. And we also pray for our loved ones who do not know you, that you might bring them to the fullness of your grace and knowledge in Jesus. We also pray that you'd help us to bear witness to the testimony of Christ, and remember that we walk by faith, not by sight. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.